and to freeze, he could go get frozen again. But what can we do for him, Doc? You tell me that, will you?
I certainly do wish I knew, John Barrymore. I wish I knew. He seems to be gently slipping through our fingers after all those years.
A short while later, Richard Ginsberg appeared to stabilize. His heart and breathing steadied and even rallied a little. And beneath the blankets, his flesh no longer felt so bitterly cold. By noon, there was a rekindling of a real hope for him.
Looks better, Doc.
I feel now that we should try to restore him to consciousness and try to make him take nourishment.
How?
Excellent question, my sweet passion flower of youth. How indeed.
Slap his face a few times, sit him up and pour some hot soup down his throat.
Might kill him. Then again, might cure him.
What do you think, Doc?
I do wish that you would all make a little more effort to recall that I may be called Doc, but that I know precious little about medicine. I am a doctor of science, and none of my science is of any avail here and now. I do not know, Ryan Corder. Why not try it? I doubt it will actually contribute to his death.
Ryan supported the dark-haired man, sitting him up on the bed. Christy sat at his side, licking her lips nervously, looking at Ginsberg.
He's starting to show a beard. Look, all that stubble frozen for 10 decades.
Now get on with it, Christy.
Gaia, help me. May the force of the Earth Mother act through me to save this stranger from the past.
Ryan noticed how the sensory curls of her crimson hair had retreated in tight bunches, as if seeking to protect her. Christy swung her arm back and then whipped it forward. Though Ryan was braced against it, he was still rocked.
Fire blast. You don't have to force his skull off his spine, lover.
No point unless I do it hard. Keep him still there. Yeah.
This time she used her left hand, leaving the vivid imprint of palm and fingers on the pale skin. Ginsberg's eyes jerked open, unfocused, then closed once more. Ryan could feel that the man's breathing had quickened.
Again.
This time his eyes flicked open and stayed that way.
Again?
No. Thank you, but no, not again.
Welcome to the future.
Cryogenics at the level of federal government was still highly classified at the end of the 20th century. Carried on in a small number of top-secret redoubts, the experimentation was one of the many peripheral projects linked to the totality concept. Richard Ginsberg had been put forward as a suitable candidate for freezing in the last months of the year 2000, late in October, and just 90 days before Skydark blotted out the United States of America and replaced it with the Deathlands. He, of course, knew nothing of that. He had been locked into dreamless sleep in his chromed coffin, far beneath the mountainside redoubt. The last things he'd seen as the anesthetic shut down his mind and body had been the cornflower blue eyes of Sister Magdalena Cohen, winking at him over the top of her surgical mask, eyes as brilliant as the bright circle of lights that had dazzled him from the ceiling of the operating theater at the Air Force Base in Nebraska. Then a face mask came, smelling of a sickly mixture of warm rubber and disinfectant, and the angles inside his own skull folded in on his brain, like a Japanese paper sculpture. The risks had been explained to him in advance, and he'd also undergone extensive counseling therapy to try to prepare him for his eventual reawakening. His psychiatrist had gray hair, shaved to a fine stubble, with an enormously bushy mustache that overwhelmed his narrow, foxy face.
We don't know when you might be revived, Rick. 1 month, 1 year, 1 century, 1 millennium, who knows? I don't know. Nobody knows. All we know is that eventually medical science will be able to cure your illness. Until then, you will be ceaselessly monitored.
1,000 years?
I believe, from the best current information, that research into your ailment points to a cure within 5 years, tops.
Richard Ginsberg was cradled in Ryan's arms. His eyes were still blurred, but now he was able to make out some details. Perhaps if he could be given his spectacles, he'd be able to see better. because what he saw didn't make any sort of sense at all. There was a tall young woman with very red hair, like molten copper, sitting on the bed by his feet. Ginsberg was recovered enough to know that this woman was called a nurse. She was a future nurse in an odd dark blue uniform, with a massive, shiny automatic pistol at her hip. She'd been slapping him on the face. What kind of a hospital was this?
He's starting to come around.
Doc leaned forward and stared into the man's white face.
I presume that he has no earthly idea where in tarnation he is. I was like that. It takes time.
An old man with a lined face, wearing a denim shirt and a weird Victorian frock coat. Pleasant deep voice and some very expensive orthodontic work. Ginsberg tried to smile in pride at remembering that word. Must be a surgeon. Eccentric genius, perhaps.
He's trying to grin.
A nurse.
Pretty, from what he could make out. Hair like Kansas wheat, and eyes like a Montana skyscape. She looked to be very tall. She moved out of his line of sight, and he could hear a peculiar tinkling sound.
Lay him down, and I'll go heat some soup for him.
A porter? Middle-aged, eyes hidden behind glasses. But why was he wearing a hat in a hospital ward? And he had a gun at his hip as well. And another slung over his shoulder, making him look like a gorilla.
Just when...
take it easy.
Ryan stood up so that he could look properly at the Freezy.
What the hell are you?
A mat of unruly black hair above the hardest, most cruel face that Ginsberg had ever seen. One eye that glinted like polished marble, the other lost beneath a leather patch. A fearsome scar that seamed the cheek, tugging at the right-hand corner of the mouth. Ginsberg struggled to lift his head, checking to see if this man, too, was carrying a gun. However hard he tried, the disoriented Freezy couldn't fit Ryan into his futurist scenario. The one-eyed man looked like a killer. It just wasn't possible to pretend otherwise.
See, lover? I'm not the only one who finds you scary to look at.
What soup?
Jack popped into sight at the end of the bed, appearing to Richard Ginsberg like a demented demon from the locked door of a psychotic imagination. A little boy with immensely long hair that was as white as snow. His eyes blazed like coals in an open hearth.
Vegetable soup.
Ryan turned away from the Freezy for a moment. He missed the fraction of a second when the man's eyes rolled upward in his skull before he slipped back into the safe harbor of unconsciousness. While Ginsberg slept on, Doc called the other five together to make a short speech to them.
My dear friends, unaccustomed as I am to public speaking, I declare this laboratory to be well and true... What am I saying? Goodness, but my mind seems to have slipped a gear or two.
Or three or four.
Our newfound and defrosted companion will require much help.
If he stays awake long enough for us to help him.
Indeed. It seems clear that the sight of us, perfectly normal though we might appear to one another, was not quite what the poor man had expected. I would imagine he had thought to recover in a hospital amidst the best of medical care.
Will he not know he isn't? He is in Deathlands, then?
Excellently deduced, my little bitty pretty one.